Praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah.
Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well and having a wonderful week. Been beautiful weather. I know we had some rain, but today just seeing that sun come out, it just really gets you excited and wants you to do stuff. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening. I want to continue just to remember all those prayer requests, those text blasts that have come across with prayer needs. I'm going to go ahead and take spoken prayer requests. Anyone on my right side? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. That's right. Give it to God. Amen. As we always should. Anyone else on my right side? Susan. Anyone else on the right side tonight? Anyone on my left side with a spoken prayer request or in the box? Praise the Lord. I don't want to miss anybody.
My mom and Keith's parents.
Both of them.
And Wesley Agan.
There are so many, and you're seeing more posts of people. And I know that, you know, God's greater than any sickness or anything that attacks our bodies, but I think for us, and as we pray for others, but then I want to pray for the ones that are going through this, that they have the strength and the faith and the confidence of God. Because, you know, we've always said it's easy to pray for someone else, but when it hits your house or your home, it's that same faith that we're going to lift it up. And each and every one of these prayer requests, if you have an unspoken or a need, just show by raising your hand. Please, each and every one. Brother Chris, would you lead us in opening prayer, please? Thank you, brother. Praise God. Let's go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap of praise, even before we start. We praise Him because He is greater than anything and greater than all. I want to praise the Lord. While you're standing, you would please turn to page 57, Amazing Grace. Praise God. I need y'all to sing with me. Penny and Miss Jennifer. Tonight, we do Amazing Grace. Let's all just join in and just worship the Lord.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Love you, Lord.
I once was lost, praise God, praise God.
One more time.
Praise God,
hallelujah, we love you.
Praise God,
yes, Lord, we just praise
God,
you.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God,
hallelujah.
Praise God, praise God, praise God.
Be seated if you can. I just love each and every one of you, and we just love you as a church. All you watching online, welcome to First Pentecost on Villarica. We just ask you to relax, just turn off everything, just enjoy the service tonight, worship and praise with us, and also prepare yourself for the messages that's brought forth tonight. You know, with Amazing Grace being on my mind, there's certain songs, there's certain things, and I know when we walk in from a busy day, or the hustle and bustle, trying to get here on time, getting the kids here. It's the same with any service. And I know there are key songs that I think a lot of people that really set off their praise and worship. And that's one that's always been for me. And I just thank the Lord because I know that when I get to heaven, you know, it's not going to matter how off key I sing or how much trouble I have if I'm not in the right key. I just want to praise the Lord. I just want to be that heavenly host and just worship God and just be as we sing, as we, this time of year, we were talking about being thankful, how thankful we've been. Just don't forget about the thankfulness that we have for God. And it's something that I guess has been on my heart since I had the opportunity to speak a few weeks ago, because of Jesus, we can always be thankful no matter what situation we're in. I don't ever want to forget that thought. So we're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering, get the business out of the way, call on some special singers, and just worship the Lord this evening. While they're coming up, Brother Jim's coming up, thank you. Don't forget, this Saturday the 3rd, can y'all believe tomorrow's December already? So this Saturday on December 3rd at 9:45, I want you all, you're all invited. Come join us. The Children's Church is coming. They already got some songs they're going to do. We're inviting you to join us at Ashbrook at 9:45. We're going to be doing some caroling. Brother Jim's got all the information. He was telling me tonight they actually want to open the door at 9:45. So if you would get there actually before 9:45, because when they turn, you know, when they set the door and we get everybody in, and we want to get started. And also we're being blessed that we can go over to another facility right after that Saturday. So this, now that people are getting better and the facilities are letting us in, so we just want to go and just spread God's cheer and love to everybody. So as we do that, I just don't forget about Saturday. Also, on December 11th at 6 p.m., the evening service, we're having our community service. Don't forget how great it was. That was the first one that we did. It was with Shop for the Cop, and that's exactly where the love offering's going that Sunday night. I want to invite each and every one of you to join us. We'd love to fill the house. I know there are other churches coming. I haven't seen the itinerary, but it's always it's just a great time that we can worship because we're all God's people in the name of Jesus. And also on December 10th at 11:30 a.m., Ida Bell's having their Christmas party and their luncheon. Sister Linda had asked to RSVP. She's not here this evening, but if anybody needs any information, we can get it from her. And the Amazing Gracers on December 11th, right after the a.m. service, they're having their annual Christmas thing. And I'm glad to see them get back together. There's been much prayer for the Amazing Gracers because, you know, it's anybody can, oh, I think it's 60. Is that what I understand what you're trying? 60, and it's a fun time, and it's just a great time to fellowship with all of our ministries. We're so blessed. We're going to go ahead and also December 18th, the Christmas play, that AM service, and it'll be over in the Curtis Center, but make plans to come to Sunday school, invite somebody. I know the grandparents and a lot of them will be coming because some of the kids are involved, the children are involved. It's going to be a great play. So we want to invite everybody to Sunday school. We will have all the regular classes, and then we'll go over to the Curtis Center. I'll hush. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord just to bless our evening offering? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Brother Jim, if you would, come on up. And then Sister Brenda, and then Linda.
All right. Thank you. You know, it's so good to be able to come in the house of God. And, you know, as a young person, I had the privilege of attending a Catholic school for about 3-4 years. And, you know, there's one thing about the Catholics. The doors of the church was always open, you know. And it's a shame that every church out here cannot do that. Because there's something about walking through the house of God on the doors, you know. Because you can have a tough week, a tough day, and just walking through that door. I don't know. There's something about it. It is to me. I don't know about you guys. Yeah. But I used to, when I was a young person, I just thought that was so awesome just to be able to walk into this huge church anytime you want to and get on your knees, you know. So, but anyway, I want to sing a song for you. It's an older song, but... The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for an added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night for in His light you'll never walk alone. You'll always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, You know, I don't know if it's age or what it is, but it seems like every day there's a little something that God does that feels like it's special. And it's like, I didn't feel it yesterday, but today I felt it. And tomorrow I'll feel something again different. But you know what? It's so good to know that what he's doing for me, he can do for you. Amen. Praise God. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Believe it or not, I have been practicing a new song, and you're going to like it because it's from way back yonder. She likes some good old ones, so. People said I'd never make it. I'd never see it through. But they don't know what keeps me going. I guess I never have met you. My life was in shambles till the day you came along. Holding on, Lord, I'll never let you go. You gave me a smile, you touched my heart, you touched my soul. And the bridges that's behind me, Lord, I burn them to the ground. But you're the treasure I've been looking for, and I'm still holding on. And I'm still holding on. Lord, I'll never let you go. You gave me a smile, you touched my heart, you touched my soul. That's behind me, Lord, I burn them to the ground, and I'm still holding on. You're the best thing ever found, and the bridges that's behind me, Lord, I burn them.
Is he the best thing you found? Praise the Lord. If he ain't, he can be. He certainly can. Y'all worship the Lord. I want to say something just a minute. I was out of town over the Thanksgiving holidays, and I was visiting with some of my family down in South Georgia. And we had a blessed time. We really did. And I don't want to get down, you know, and I don't want y'all to feel sorry for me, because I know my heavenly home and I know where I'm going. But I went down there and I planned my funeral. I've never done that. I've never done that. But I did. I planned my funeral. I know the songs that I want sung. I know who I want to bring the message. And my prayer is that just if it's just one person, the funeral's not going to be for me. I'm going to already be gone. But if one person can just accept Christ, that's what matters to me. That's really what matters to me. And you say, well, that's, Sister Linda, that's sad. But no, it's not. No, it's not. I'm 75 years old, and I know I have lived the largest part of my life, unless God sees different. But I want y'all to know I'm ready to go. If he calls me tonight, I'm ready to go. And I don't want you weeping. I don't want you weeping and crying over me, because you know where I'm going. Woo, hallelujah. I'm going home with my Lord. I've served him many years. I want to see him face to face. I want to thank him for all that he's done for me, because he's been so good to me. And I can't thank him enough. Y'all worship the Lord.
See, he has been so good to me.
God so much, and I thank Him for. You know, you can't praise Him enough.
No.
You really can't. I don't know, maybe He's getting ready to call me home. I don't know. But I got a special feeling in my heart. And I know I'm real animated sometimes when I get up here, you know, because I walk back and forth, I praise the Lord, I do just whatever I feel like that I need to do. I love feeling the presence of the Lord. And I want to see Him face to face one day. Face to face, I want to see my Savior. And I can't wait. I really can't. So, you don't realize, if you've never planned your funeral, woo, you don't realize what a relief it is off of you. I didn't want Tom to have to do that. I didn't want my family to have to do that. I have planned it all. And every one of you is invited. Hallelujah. It's going to be a celebration, because a great homecoming is where I am going. I'm going to be with my Lord. Y'all worship God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
I have to believe that He sees my darkness. I have to believe that He knows my pain. I have to lift up my hands to worship His name. I have to declare that He is my refuge. I have to deny that I am alone. I have to lift up my eyes to the mountains. It's where my help, it comes from. He said He's forever faithful. If He can move mountains, He can move my mountain. He can move your mountain too. I have to stand tall when the wind blows me over. I have to stand strong when I'm weak and afraid. I have to grab the garments of praise. He said He's forever faithful. He said He's forever true. If He can move mountains, He can move my mountain. He can move your mountain too. I have to sing praise when the hour is midnight. He unlocks these chains that bind up my soul, my sin and my shame. He has forgiven and made me whole. He said He's forever faithful. He said He's forever true. mountains. If he can move mountains, he can move my mountain. He can move your mountain too. I have to believe. I have to believe. I have to believe.
How many believes he's a mountain mover? Ever had any mountains moved for you? God is able, still able. Man, as we always say, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask. Brother Chris, even think. That's how great God is, amen. He knows our needs even before we do. Yet sometimes we question God and say, Lord, do you know what I need? And he always does know what I need. And not only knows it, but fulfills it if you have the faith to believe. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of Isaiah. How many is having a good week? All right. Every week's good. Amen. I was thinking about Sister Linda. She was talking about the pre-planned funeral, and that's a good idea. It reminded me of a very, and I'm not making light of this at all, it reminded me of a very good friend of mine. Not long after he got married, it was his wife's birthday, and I said, oh, that's great. I said, what are you going to get her? He said, nothing. And I said, you're not going to get her anything? He said, well, she hadn't used what I got her last year. I said, what'd you get her last year? He said, a cemetery plot. Okay, so. I spoiled the moment, didn't I? Amen. But I'm not a planner, so Penny's going to plan mine, I'm sure. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 6 and verse 7. I'll try to put a straight face on now. The prophet Isaiah says in the 55th chapter, rather, verses 6 and 7, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for your goodness, for your mercy, for this day, this opportunity, God, to come in to worship you tonight. Thank you for those who are here, those who may be viewing by live stream. Father, we pray a very special blessing on each and every one. God, those, especially those who are sick, those who are afflicted, I pray, God, that you would minister healing to them. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd just have your will and way in this service tonight. Help us to be submissive and obedient, God, to your word and to your will. Father, I pray tonight, God, that the word goes out. Pray, God, that it'll give us strength, God, and encouragement in this time, the day and hour that we face. And Father, I pray, God, that everything that's done or said be for your honor and for your glory, and we'll be careful to give you praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Good to see you. Appreciate having the opportunity to see you folks. And I too, Sister Linda, are looking forward to that great reunion in the sky. I mean, what a time we're going to have when we get over yonder. Amen. There'll be no more sickness, sorrow, no pain, no more death. It's just going to be eternity of glorifying and praising the Lord. But tonight I got a serious I guess subject matter, if you would. I mean, the Bible itself is very serious. And how many knows that the end time is serious and salvation is serious? We find here that the prophet Isaiah begins the very first of that chapter with a call. Basically, it is a call to, if we look at the reference, not only a call to the Jewish people, but a call to every nation. He says in verse number 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now, when we read verse 1 and 2, we think, my Lord, what a wonderful passage of Scripture that would be for revival. Amen. It's an urgent call to all of those who stand in need of the Lord, the unsaved, the backslidden, those that are cold and indifferent, those that need to be reborn in the Spirit of the Lord and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And He's promised them that God will abundantly pardon them. And then He says something that is very concerning, or was to me, and is very serious as He begins in verse number 6. He says, seek ye the Lord, which is good. But then He follows that up with, while He may be found. Now that's a little bit disturbing when we begin to read that and wonder, you know, is the Lord going somewhere? Is the Lord going to withdraw His Spirit? You got to understand, the children of Israel were very, very stiff-necked and a hardened people. Many times it took the sternness of a prophet and through God speaking to that prophet to get their attention to turn them back to God and their repentive state. Before the dispensation of grace, before the Spirit of the Holy Ghost was come and could fill them within them, they were still having to walk by the precepts and the statutes of the commandments of Moses and trying to live a life, and so easily were swayed when things of the world began to pull them and draw them away from the goodness of God. So God used the prophets to stir them up and to bring them back. And Isaiah was starting that with the call, coming on back, come on back. It doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done. Come on back and eat and drink, he that is thirsty. It don't have to have money or anything. He's talking about that spiritual blessing or that spiritual anointing that God will pour out upon the people. But seemingly that didn't work. Seemingly the call for people to come and have God forgive them and draw closer to the Lord, maybe it was not as urgent or it was not a priority at that particular time for them. Some did, some took advantage of it, but many just went on about their business. And we see that same thing happening today, or I do. I've noticed that a lot of ministers, a lot of evangelists, a lot of preachers are beginning to preach what I grew up hearing. The Lord is coming soon. From the very beginning of my time in church, when I was able to comprehend and remember and wasn't playing around in church, I remember the preachers talking about the end time and about the book of Revelation unfolding and that Jesus Christ was coming soon. And, you know, when I hear the word soon, I thought that's going to be, you know, pretty soon, you know, in the immediate future. But we got to understand that everything belongs to God and it's His time and not our time. But yet in today's society, in today's ministry, it seems to be even more urgent than it was, Brother Chris, when I was growing up. I know that people thought, you know, this could be the day that the Lord comes, and men and prophets try to predict the time, and the Bible plainly tells us that we're not going to know the day nor the hour. No man knows. God only knows. But I also know that in the Bible there's things that point to His soon coming. Now, I believe with all of my heart that something is fixing to transpire. Not prophesying, just a Bible reader and an observer. And I see that a lot of people are thinking the same thing. Now, you know, I'm thinking that something catastrophic is going to happen, if you want to call it catastrophic. Either that Jesus is going to split the eastern sky and return and take the church home, or He's going to turn this world upside down, one or the other, and maybe there's going to be an end time revival. But here's the thing that catches my attention. If we begin to feel that, and we begin to realize that, and other ministers are realizing that, and evangelists are realizing that, and authors and writers are realizing that, then there needs to be a call to the unsaved. There needs to be an urgent drive to get as many people ready as we possibly can. Because something, I believe, is going to happen in the very near future. And the Bible says here that Isaiah said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." I read a lot of different commentaries, and there seemed to be a common theme. And you know, commentaries are a dime a dozen. You can, you stick to the Word of God, and you ask the Spirit of the Lord to reveal what the Word is. But it's interesting to read other people's views on things. But there seemed to be a common thread that, and the Bible says in Genesis, I believe it is, and maybe somewhere, is it the third chapter? Sixth chapter, third verse. And he's talking about man. And he says, "The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man." And that's when he went on to say that, you know, man is flesh and he's only given, what, 120 years on earth, or as a general thing, and talking about his spirit. Or other words, life is not going to always dwell with man. And it also says in the Bible that man is appointed unto to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, almost anybody and everybody that's a Bible reader or has had any time in church can agree with that and understand that and say, yeah, you know, I remember hearing that when I was in church, or I remember hearing that when Mother would take me to Sunday school or whatever. But they are not making themselves ready for that end time or whenever that time may be. And I just want to say out to the world, don't wait too long. Don't wait too long. David was having problems after problems after problems and issues after issues, and we know that David was constantly repenting unto the Lord. But in one of the Psalms, he says, "What wait I for? My hope is in the Lord." What are we waiting for? If we realize and know that there is an eternity, how many believe that? There's an eternity. The Bible tells us that we live forever and forever. And also, there's a place, amen, for the heavenly kingdom that Jesus Christ has gone away and prepared for us, that where he is, we may be also. But there's another place called hell, and it's not talked about a whole lot in churches today. It's not preached a whole lot about because it's offensive to people, and people want to believe in the blessings in heaven, but they don't want anything to do with the hell or the damnation that talks about. But it's just as much and just as true as there is a heaven, there is an alternate place. And as a preacher and as a minister and even as a pastor, I want to get the word out that if you are not ready, and I was thinking about Sister Linda, you know, planning her funeral. You know, that's a good thing to do here, but I'm planning my home going. Amen. I know where I'm going. And if you can't say that you know, and you know that you know where you're going, please don't wait too long. Get it done now. Amen. Now, he was talking basically to all nations, but he was also talking to the Jewish people too, and telling them, you know what, I know that you know what God's all about. I know that you know the goodness and the commandments of the Lord, but you strayed from them. I have an urgent call tonight for those who have strayed away from God, those who have become indifferent to God, indifferent to church. And that seems to be the popular thing today. People say, you know, a church without walls or something that doesn't seem like a church or whatever they're doing, trying to entice people to come in. But let me tell you something. It's not the church and it's not the denomination, but you better get somewhere. And you better get on your knees somewhere, sometime, and you better repent of your sinful nature, and you better ask Jesus Christ as the only way to get to heaven. You better ask him to come into your life and have the precious blood of Jesus applied to your spirit to wipe away the sins, amen, of this world. And my call to you tonight, wherever you are, wherever you're viewing, if you're sitting on your couch watching this, don't wait too long. Don't wait too long. Now, that's an urgent call to the unsaved. But again, I want to speak to the backslidden, to those who have been hurt, to those who have given up on God and given up on church. It was never God who hurt you. Church may have hurt you. People in the church may have hurt you. Feelings get hurt. Come on, folks. We know our feelings get hurt sometimes. But it wasn't God. So don't hold that against God. If you're not going to church, if you're not living for the Lord, if you have not repented, if you've not asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, forget about the denomination. Forget about the church building itself. Get somewhere on your knees and find Jesus Christ. Ask Him to forgive you and ask Him to save you. And please, whatever you do, don't wait too long. Don't wait too long. It's a very disturbing verse. Just after the blessings of come on in and come and receive. And if you don't have money, that's all right. You can freely get this because it's freely given. But then he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Signifying that, and God forbid, that there come a time when it's too late and when you can't reach God. You know, Jesus touched on this. Jesus used parables. He used parables because it could relate, or the people that he was talking to could relate to what he was saying. You know, sometimes that's the Bible talks about the foolishness of preaching. You know, it doesn't make sense to the world. But basically what it is getting the Word of God in terms so that people can digest it spiritually, so they can understand the Scripture, so that they can either grow or be born in the Spirit of the Lord, amen, and become a part of the kingdom of God. So Jesus used parables. And a very familiar parable, which lines up with exactly what the prophet Isaiah was talking about. If you read about Isaiah, he was a stern prophet. He was a no-nonsense prophet. He did not beat around the bush. When God told him to say something, he said it. He delivered it. Whether the children liked it or whether the congregation adhered to it or not, he simply was relating to them what God had laid on his heart. So here he's saying, you know what? Seek the Lord. You better seek him while you can find him. They're signifying that there may come a day when you may not be able to seek the Lord, and you may seek him and he may not be found, meaning that he might have withdrawn his spirit and you're no longer able to receive of that forgiveness. God forbid that we wait till that time, to that point. But Jesus referred to that in the book of Matthew, chapter number 25, when he read the parable, or when he told the parable of the 10 virgins. And I'm not going to go into it entirely. I want to pick up with verse number 6. Because that's when the rubber meets the road. That's when the parable got really, really serious. You know the story. There were 10 virgins. 5 wise, 5 foolish. In the 6th verse it said, and at midnight there was a cry made. You know, midnight is that hour. That's that hour that when if the phone rings, it can't be good news. And it startles us. How many has ever gotten a phone call late at night and your first thoughts, if you're like me, is something's wrong. Somebody's calling this time of night, and it may not be. But in the midnight hour, that's when we're usually slumbering and sleeping in a deep sleep, and if we're awakened during that time. But it said, at the midnight hour, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Signifying that one of these days there's going to be a cry made. Might be the eastern sky, maybe the sounding of the trumpet. It may be devastation, it may be a bad catastrophe or something happened. Souls may be lost, people may be crying for the Lord, but there is a cry made, they may not have that opportunity. Today is the day to get it done. Right now is the time to get your ticket punched and make sure that you're ready to go to heaven. Then all those virgins, all 10 of them, arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. I want you to understand that all 10 of these virgins had the same invitation, knew the time, knew the place, knew that they had to have their lamps ready, didn't know exactly when the call was going to be made so that they could go enter in, but knew that they needed to be prepared. because five of them knew and had preparation and prepared for this calling of the bridegroom. But five let their oil go out, signifying that they were not ready. And listen to this. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. The Holy Ghost is powerful. The Spirit of the Lord is great. You know what? If that trumpet sounds, you're not going to be able to share your Holy Ghost or your Spirit with somebody who comes up and grabs you and says, take me with you. They've had the same opportunity. And I know this is a Wednesday night, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I have to tell you what the Lord is burning in my soul and burning in my heart. Don't wait too late. If you got unsaved family, if you got friends, if you got workers, understand that we don't know the day nor the hour, but we must absolutely have to be ready. All those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto them, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, said, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. Run to the church now and go to the revival and get saved now. But there's going to be a day, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they were ready, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Those had planned, those that had made provision, those that had made preparation, those that said, you know what, I'm not going to wait till the last hour. I'm not going to come in at the 11th hour. I'm going to go ahead and make my soul ready tonight because I don't know the day nor the hour. We're one heartbeat. I told one man this week. We're one heartbeat, one breath away from eternity. Every one of us, regardless of how old we are, regardless if we have sickness or affliction or we're just as healthy as we can be, still one heartbeat and one breath away from eternity. And how will we face eternity? So then while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. That ought to alarm folks. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. These are Jesus' words. I cannot think of a person that I know, a person anywhere in this world, that I want them to face judgment when the Lord says, I know you not. You've got that opportunity. As long as you have breath, there's hope. As long as you have life, there's that opportunity. As long as you know that you can't make it to heaven without the Spirit of the Lord. You cannot make it to heaven without Jesus Christ, accepting Him as your Lord and Savior. Asking Jesus to save you. Asking Jesus to forgive you. Then it says, watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. But it goes hand in hand with what Isaiah said. Seek ye the Lord. When? I get my life straight. When things get better. When I find a church that I like. When I find a preacher that I like. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And you need to find somewhere, whether it be at your home, whether it be in your automobile, somewhere. And you need to repent and ask Jesus Christ into your life. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. While he's near. I mean, I was just thinking. If you never had an opportunity to be around somebody, and, you know, then after they're gone, you would say, oh, man, I asked them about this. Or I wanted to, you know, it's a little bit late. And of course, I know we're in the age of technology and text and phones and stuff like that, but you know, I meant to do that while I was there. You know, that's an uncomfortable feeling. But imagine if you will, and this is something that is unimaginable to me because every time I pray unto the Lord, he's there. Isn't that a blessing? I mean to know and to be able to feel his presence and just to pray. You know, every morning that I got up this morning and was out in the woods, and I was just glorifying and praising God and asking him for blessings and asking him to keep me and my family and stuff. And it was just like, you know, it was just me and him, and just he was just kind of speaking to my heart. But imagine not being able to do that. Imagine crying and screaming, Lord, forgive me, and he can't be found. Brother Chris, I've never experienced that because he's always been there for me. And he's there for us now. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come now. This is the day. This is the time. This is the time to get ready. Don't wait. Don't put it up. Like David said, why am I waiting? My hope is in the Lord. And our hope is in the Lord. It's not about signing your name on a roll book at a church. It's not about shaking a pastor's hand. It's about giving your life to Jesus. Can you say amen, church? Can you understand and realize that there is an urgency? And you know, this urgency has been preached for years and years and years. Like I said, I grew up with an urgency. But never do I feel or have I felt that urgency like I do. Now, I'm not trying to prophesy that the end of the world's coming or anything like that. I'm just saying so many people are not taking advantage of a very free gift of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Basically, in reality, what they're saying is crucify him, just like the crowds did then. And have you ever thought about that? The very ones who were hollering crucify him, it was because for their salvation he was crucified. For each and every one, for whosoever will come unto him. Amen. But don't wait too long. Don't wait too long.
If you have a friend, if you have a family member, please stress to them. Don't wait too long.
You know, a lot of people say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get right. I'm going to get in church. I've had somebody telling me, I'm going to get in church. I'm going to get right. You know? But it hasn't been a convenient time. Because they follow that up with, I just got all this going on, I got this going on, I got to get this done. And I'm not saying you got to get in the church to get saved. But you know what? When I got saved, I wanted to go to church. I wanted to go find faith in the Lord. But if you're listening out there somewhere and you're kind of weighing in the balances of, you know, where you're going to spend eternity, and don't let the world tell you that there's no heaven and there's no hell. That's the popular thing. Place of both heaven and hell. We must be ready so that we can avoid that awful place. I know we've heard it all of our life. I thank God that it finally registered on me and I made it right. I planned it. I went down to the altar, asked the Lord to save me, and he did. Asked him to forgive me, and he did. I asked him to live inside me, and he came inside me. I'm so thankful for that. If you love the Lord and if you're ready to go, amen. I'm not saying break in line or nothing. I'm just saying if you're ready to go, should the Lord come tonight, just give the Lord a hand clap of praise, if you would. Amen. Glory to God. God bless you, church. We love you so very much. I'm not going to apologize to you. I know you're born again, saved, and all that, but that's what the Lord just laid on my heart. And, you know, it's almost like breaking the fish, give it to you, and you go and give it to whoever will. But there is an urgency. There's urgency in my spirit. And I believe there's an urgency in every minister that there is soon coming a time, amen, when judgment is on the way. And I know we've said it to a lot of people. They just say, well, I've been hearing it all my life. That doesn't mean anything except one thing. You're one day closer to judgment. I'm not going to preach anymore. I think I've said all that the Lord put on my heart to say. And anyway, if you wasn't saved tonight, maybe you got saved. I don't know. Amen. Would you stand? God bless you. We love you so very much. Appreciate you. Brother Jim, come if you would. Dismiss us with a word of prayer. Anyone need prayer tonight? This altar is always open. We believe in prayer. Any among you sick, let him call for the elders. Anoint with oil. Pray the prayer of faith.
Praise God. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise for his word. Hallelujah. Powerful message. Powerful word. You know, that the Bible that's being preached and as it's being taught, free to all of us, it's God's word also. And that's something I think that as we bury ourselves into his word and let the Lord speak to us as we pray. and ask God to speak to us. And messages like this is exactly, wakes us all up. We need to pray for those, as our pastor just said, for those that there are names that maybe come to your head, or there may be family members, someone that you share more time with than you do, that we just need to continue to pray for each other. And also for us, that we just turn to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive us. All hearts and minds clear? Praise God. I'm still smiling. I love the Lord. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. Lord, we praise your holy name. Lord, thank you again, dear Lord, for your blessings and your love, your mercy and grace. Lord, we just come to you now and humbly just bow before you and just thank you for this message, this word. Lord, for enlightening us and getting us stirred up again, dear Lord, letting us feel your presence. Lord, may we continue in everything that we do and everything that we are. Lord, we just love you and we praise you. Lord, we ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. Lord, I pray for the teens and for the children's church downstairs. Lord, continue to bless the young ones, dear Lord. May they hear your word. Lord, may we be an example that to them what you want us to be, dear Lord. May we be that vessel that your light shines through. And, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Don't forget the carol and Saturday morning. Also, I did hear that Santa's going to be there, and he's going to be going with us to carol. So it's going to be a wonderful time. Praise God. The real, there you go. Praise the Lord.